Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is episode 40. I am one of your hosts. My name is Aubrey.
And I'm the other host, and my name is Drew Clark.
Thanks for joining us today. We're here at Gradient Studios, and it is sweltering hot.
Warm and sunny Crockett day in Crockett, California.
Very uncomfortable.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day for being here with us. Hopefully you're in some air conditioning, or for the wintertime you get a nice fire going next to you. You know, if you happen to have things you like to eat or drink or smoke, then go ahead and get that going now.
Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
That was a little number I wrote recently.
Thank you. That's very, very nice.
It's kind of Twin Peaksy. If you know what that means.
You know, I've heard of it, and I hear there's a new thing coming out, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's coming out like, maybe it's out
Sunday
now.
Or something like that.
A reboot, something, something.
All the original cast, something, something.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
Let's check in. How you doing?
Let's see. I have some things to report. I'm feeling... I had a really good job interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was for a job that makes sense for me. And it's for a company that actually would... I'd be into their kind of shtick. And what they are is they're a brewery. But they brew with all... They make their own biofuel. And then that's what they use to brew their beer.
Huh.
Yeah, and they're in Oakland, and they're called Ale Industries, and I would be a beer salesperson for them. And I had a fun interview. It was an hour and a half long, and it was with two different people. So I had the first interview, and it went pretty well with that main guy, Morgan. And then they're like, "Hey, do you have time to talk to somebody else?" Well, absolutely. So I got
a good sign.
Yeah, it was a good sign. So I feel good about that. Our audience knows that I've been calling the Wambulance on money and just how to make it work and that whole system here and being in the Bay Area and stuff. And I've taken steps and strides towards that. And I had this really cool interview that I felt seen at. And like the main questions were about my communication.
Huh.
They were asking about nonviolent communication and about my experiences and leadership instead of what kind of beer is good.
Right.
So that made me feel good.
Were you like, "This is nonviolent communication"?
After the triple punch I put into their faces, I had them recognize the truth, you know. So,
yeah.
But it was cool. I felt good.
You like strangled them and lifted them off the floor?
I was like, "You will hire me. Please."
When do you hear back from them?
You know, I don't know. It was only yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So my hope is by a week from yesterday, I'm sure they're going to interview other people. But they need many people. So,
they just started? Are they new?
No, they're like 8 years old, but they're doubling in size. They're expanding.
Huh. That's good news for someone getting a job there.
Right.
They're expanding.
So
they must be doing something right.
Hire more salespeople. So I'm interested in becoming one of those people.
Cool.
So that feels good. Yeah, thanks. I guess that's like the major update on how I'm doing and feeling. Everything else is pretty much the same.
Cool. Playing a lot of music?
All the time. I was playing music every time, all the time, in my sleep. Everyone knows I've got this lovely drum kit here.
TD-50?
TD-50 electronic drum kit, and I use that. I also play several other acoustic kits regularly.
Mm.
So I'm not getting all just rigid on my electronic kit playability. I'm playing two other acoustic kits.
Is it easy to transition from the...
It's
electric to the acoustic.
I'm finding it to be fun and easy. Swift transition, and it seems cool.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking. How about you? How's your check-in? How you feeling?
Doing good. Playing music every day, all day. Mm. Well, not all day, but pretty much every night. You and I played together, Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday was Friday. Played at the studio, the new members. That was great.
We played Thursday,
playing
too.
Jazz. Yeah, what did we play Thursday?
We played that in that metal thing.
Oh, yeah. What was... Wednesday was... That's right.
So yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I played.
That's cool. How's that feel?
Feels good. Keeping the chops up.
Nice. Getting all choppy.
Keeping the vocal chops, getting that stuff, keeping the pipes clean, keeping the pipes in order, getting used to these new band members.
What's that like, getting used to new band members? What's that like?
Well, they're just, you know, they're seasoned players, so they're pretty easy to get along with.
They're just smooth?
Yeah, they're just cool dudes.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right on. Okay.
The drummer plays with the former lead singer of Yes.
Ha! Huh.
That's my understanding. I don't know what that project is, but that's pretty cool.
Huh. Okay. Right on.
So that cool. is that.
Cool. Thank you. Good
Thank
check
you
in.
For checking in. So now we go. Today's episode is brought to you by Final Corp Permanently Sweaty Headphones.
Yeah.
These are headphones that are permanently moist with someone else's sweat. It's not your sweat.
Pre-sweated.
Pre-sweated, sweat secreting, constantly wet, sweat phones. So thanks, Final Corp. Not sure whose sweat I have right now on my head, but feeling pretty good. Nice and lubed up.
Yeah, slimy, ready for action, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you, Final Corp.
Lubed up headphones.
All right.
All right, you got a topic?
I got some topics. Do you got any topics?
Why don't you hit me with what you got? Okay.
I'm going to hit you with this. So,
okay.
The recent job interview cool. I did, there was a thing that they did before I could speak to them in person. They asked me to do this personality profile from an organization called DISC.
Huh. Is that an acronym for something, DISC?
Yes.
Disturbing, intelligent, sarcastic.
What is something? I forget. I have to look. There's a lot of information here. And if we're kind of looking at your screen, you can see I'm sort of scrolling through here. And there's, like, D stands for dominating. Like, there's basically how this works is there's a dogfight outside.
Right.
And what happens is they just keep squealing.
Yeah. So that cool. also is brought to us by Final Corp.
Thanks, Final Corp.
We have a fly in the studio.
Very active fly. You know what I'm saying? Look at this guy. Can you see him? I don't know.
We don't
so
have
they have
fly
a series
cam.
of four words in a group, and then you go, which word most describes you in the work setting and which word least describes you in the work setting? And you have to pick one of each for the two.
Right.
And I scored a unique set of answers for them, and they said to me, like, oh, you were actually strengthful in these two areas that are sort of opposites, and it's interesting.
Huh.
So it's really complex. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, or I don't think it would be worth.
How long did it take you to take the test?
Like 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But going through the results is like hours.
Wow.
So just like a quick overview is I found this thing to be incredibly accurate.
Was it a multiple choice?
Yeah, there's four words, and you select which word most identifies you and least identifies you in the workplace.
That's each question.
Each question, yes. Each question is that.
So you just go through lists of four words and pick the one that you think describes you.
Mm-hmm. And one that least describes you. So the classical pattern I got is a practitioner, which basically means I'm extremely high in the influence dimension. Andrew, your highest dimension, based on your responses to your perceptions of the environment and the amount of control you feel you have in that environment, is influence. Read the description of influence and see how it fits the way you see yourself. Then read about the other dimensions on page 14 to become familiar with them. Blah, 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 a lot of pages. So I'm high in the influence dimension. I focus on shaping my environment by influencing or persuading others. And I was like, huh. High eyes require freedom of expression and steer clear of too much detail or control. I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the workplace, high eyes typically enjoy participating in group activities where they can meet new people and cultivate a wide range of friendships. They pride themselves on their ability to articulate their ideas, and they enjoy engaging others in conversation.
That seems pretty accurate so far.
Right, and it goes on, and there's a bunch of cool things. Yeah, so it basically, it's a fun, long list to look at. I think you have to pay to do it unless you send someone a link to be able to do it, and I can't send, you know, it's like you have to pay. It's like paid content, but there's all this stuff on it. It's interesting, and I think you could learn things about me if someone read through it. Andrew's motivation.
More accurate than astrology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a practitioner, like Andrew, else. You tend to seek new avenues of personal growth. Once you settle on a course of action, you are likely to display proficiency in your chosen field. While you may seek expertise in a certain area rather than just becoming a jack of all trades, this will probably not stop you from voicing your opinion on a variety of subjects. You're most likely confident in your own potential, especially when it comes to the ability to master new skills. Fresh challenges probably revitalize you. Even while tackling an unfamiliar process or system, you usually project a relaxed and easygoing style. Yeah. Despite your frequent congenial attitude, however, you are likely to value self-discipline and hard work. In fact, at times you may tend to dwell excessively on your own objectives.
Say anything about hot tubs in there?
This determination might put you on a quest to match the achievement levels of your peers.
That's yeah, there's cool. There's
some, yeah, it was cool. And so it's like, I think if people can get access to DISC, I'm going to go ahead and shout out for DISC and say it's pretty cool. I found it to be accurate. It was interesting. Capital D, lowercase I, capital S, capital C, DISC.
Interesting. DISC.com.
I'm sure that'll pull it up. Yeah.
Cool. It's always interesting to self-analyze.
You know?
But I think stuff. Yeah. I think the key to happiness is getting out of your head, though. You got to get out of your head.
Tell me more.
I don't know. It just seems that way. You could just sit there and ruminate about stuff all day.
You could self-study yourself, IQ test yourself all fucking day.
You could just read self-help books all day. That's a trap. You know, some are better than others, but, you know, you can hunt and peck for the secret. Like, what's the secret thing? And you just find yourself reading tons of the same sort of self-help stuff. You got to get out of your head. I think that's true, like, getting good at stuff, too. You know, think about music. You can't be, like, in your head the whole time.
Yeah.
You can't be, like, thinking about, you know, personal shit when you're playing. You gotta, it's sort of like a mindless state almost.
If you're just reading books, you're not doing things. That's right. Why teachers, I think, would be good to have them come out of teaching in the rotation for a while to do work in their field. And then go back to teaching.
Well, that's like sabbatical, science. Right?
What's that?
Sabbatical.
I think is that what that's for?
Yeah, you take time off to like do research and stuff.
Well, that
in your field.
That would make lots of sense, but most teachers aren't doing that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Depends on the teachers, I guess.
Yeah. Indiana Jones, he would take sabbaticals.
Yeah.
He was a teacher.
He was kind of a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
He would do the research, but then he would actually go get the item, get the artifact. Kill some Nazis while he was at it.
You need him in your startup, you know? Right?
Pretty good.
You need him in your startup to help solve the problems of Nazis.
Yep.
You hear that? You heard it here, folks.
Also aliens. And kill Russians.
Right. Well, maybe not Russian people, right?
Well, he has to have a fist fight with some burly, either Nazi or Russian.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Because he does in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. He's got the obligatory fist fight.
When does the big German get chopped up by the airplane?
That's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's a gross scene.
Back when movies were movies. The new, the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was just garbage.
Is he in it?
It was so like,
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Oh, God.
It's all like sanitized, you know.
Ugh.
Now that Spielberg has grandkids, every movie's like, you know, there's no blood, there's no shooting people.
Well, let's
whereas
show
in the early
chart.
Indiana Jones, I mean, he's murdering people.
This is the chart outright, to prove that, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, there's sex too, and there's like intrigue and mystery and dirt.
Fist fights.
Rats.
Death.
Snakes.
Skulls. Skeletons.
We actually have a chart here to show you. Check out this chart that makes that shows you about movies. There you go.
What is it?
You missed it.
Can't see it. Is that pie chart?
We did have a chart here.
What was it?
This is the chart. So you missed it.
Oh, it just has percentages. This
you could just use that anywhere.
Yeah. This is the percentage of this color that you see on the pie chart.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. So, like, freaking movies and disc and persuasion and sitting around and being real. So,
cool.
Maybe the goal is it's cool to explore self-help and to learn about yourself, but if that's all you do, that's like if all you did was drink alcohol and you didn't do other things, you'd be sad.
Yeah. If all you did was just think about your own life, you'd be sad because you wouldn't have a life.
You got to do stuff. You got to be wrong. You got to go outside and upset yourself.
Fail.
Yeah.
You got to fail. Fail. Fail faster.
Fail fast.
Fail faster, people.
Let's just fail fast. Man, it's fucking warm
so
in here.
So it's kind of warm in
like,
here.
Like, I just want to say, like, holy shit, it is hot in here. It's like I'm picturing a fan. I feel like I'm short of breath a little.
Yeah, it's like a sauna.
Well, maybe we could just treat it like medicinally. Maybe we could just, like, let this heat sink in and just sort of let our brains boil in that temperature and just sort of see what kind of nonsense comes out. Speaking of brain boiling.
Put on some hats.
It's time. It's put on some fucking snow hats.
Woolen hats.
I used to do that sometimes in the summer. I'd go in a sleeping bag outside and lay in it in the sun just to see how hot I could get.
Yeah. Or like turn the heat all the way up in the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That counts too.
Yeah. The things we do.
Here's the private thing. When I was a kid and I got to take a dump in like something that was really hot. Like, if I could be, not a porta potty because of the smell, but if there happened to be a clean bathroom that was very small and very hot.
Yeah.
So you're sitting on the john and you're just dripping. You know what I mean? And there's nowhere you have to be right.
The,
you're not
the
like
dump just kind of drips out of you.
Yeah, it just sort of falls out and you just kind of cleanse. I love that experience.
That is a good experience. They have maybe heated toilets now.
A little much, you know?
They have heated toilets now. Not now, but, you know, those exist.
Yeah.
Heated toilets are okay. That's what you want. You want a nice sauna. Take a poop.
Yeah, and a warm water bidet.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. I need TP in the future, man.
Or like hot sandpaper from Final Corp. Final Corp, sandpaper, toilet
Final
paper.
Corp!
You know? People get their buttholes bleached. Why not just use sandpaper to wipe?
I don't want to bleach.
So...
buttholes. Okay.
Well, you're not in the adult industry.
Not
adult entertainment industry, so you probably don't need to do that.
No. Okay.
But
so disc. Do we have any final things on disc? And if not, let's hear a nice noise to close that out and we'll just we'll move
okay.
On.
Whoops. No one's the home. Disc. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm interested in taking it, but I don't want to pay any money.
Right. There's probably you could probably hack it somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Torrent it.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool. Okay.
Let's see.
That's 240. You know what that means.
240 is an anagram of 420 is what Drew is saying. Oh. Yeah, it's warm in here. Shit.
It's like, if I took my shirt off, would the internet break?
Well, I don't know if that's the right move.
Yeah. I don't know if it is either. I don't know if it's the kind of
we
podcast
do want viewers.
We want. We want adult, grown-up, and podcast listeners of many types. Yeah. So let's not get naked. That's
but,
for a different
you know,
show.
Got to do what you got to do. You got shorts on, don't you?
I actually chose shorts today.
Yeah, I don't have shorts on. What if I took my pants off?
See? YouTube may frown on this.
I have boxers on, so be like shorts.
Just like swim trunks. No biggie.
Oh, man. It would be nice to have a fan, but it would probably add a lot of noise.
Yeah, to our mics.
It might.
Right now, the sound's so minty fresh.
It does
Giannis,
sound good.
No one's hearing this. We're live streaming officially. We got nice triple camera action here.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
It's doing real good. All right.
You got another topic?
I do, but
go?
I'm like, let's get you. Let's have you go.
I wanted to talk about the technological singularity.
Oh.
What do you think about
that? The technological singularity.
I mean, that's technically, you know, just just the singularity also.
So
that's what's commonly
known. Is it
known
sort of
as.
Blended in with sort of artificial intelligence singularity?
Yeah, the point where, let me read from Wikipedia. The technological singularity is the hypothesis that the invention of artificial superintelligence will abruptly trigger runaway technological growth, resulting in unfathomable changes to human civilization. So I think Ray Kurzweil was the one who originally proposed this. And it's pretty interesting. I think there's actually like a Singularity Institute.
I've heard of that, actually.
Hello? Check. There we go.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but here we go. So basically the idea is that artificial superintelligence will outstrip us very quickly once it's self-aware.
This was like a God creation story?
Yeah. And, you know, Skynet was an early thing in the popular imagination from James Cameron's Terminator series. Good for now. It became self-aware and then realized that humans are just a hindrance to its projects.
Right.
So what do you think about the singularity? I think, how do you think empathy would fit? Do you think, I was thinking that we program an artificial intelligence with empathy, right? Mm-hmm. As far as we understand it, maybe it comes up with sort of a better, like an improved empathy.
That seems reasonable.
And it seems like if an AI had empathy and imagination, that would be a good start.
Well, it seems like a force for good, and it feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, it could imagine horrible scenarios.
Yeah,
that's a possibility. But
I think
if it was able to relate to humans, like if it had compassion towards humans,
that seems good.
That'd be important, I think. Yeah. So a lot of it is like it's only going to be as smart as we sort of program it to be.
Right.
At least at the beginning.
Well, I think another thing will take hold sort of regardless of how we try to plan for AI.
Yeah.
Like Elon Musk's company, OpenAI, which actually I applied to work for, they regrettably declined.
Probably need like a lot of letters after your name for that.
Or before or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Esquire Jr.
Yeah, you know the right name.
Dr. Esquire Jr., PhD.
That's it. They're trying to provide a safe space for AI, basically trying to build a cradle of safe start.
Right. I think everyone's on this project.
Right.
I mean, once Google knows that Elon Musk is on it, they're going to do it, and likewise with Facebook. So it's just a matter of time. I think they're all racing to sort of get there, whatever there means.
I think that the thing that's going to arise that people won't be ready for, and that actually most people are afraid of, is that the technology will be integral. And the ways that humans constantly flex and give and change and kind of organize and take advantage.
Yeah.
I think that technology will not do that. They will organize and take advantage only within integrity.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess is that
it's all conjecture.
The thing to be afraid of is your own integrity and how you treat people
and
how your internal monologue sounds.
Yeah.
If your internal monologue is like untrue from what you're actually doing, then you have something to worry about with AI.
Right.
But if you are tell the truth, I kind of doubt you'll have as much trouble.
Yeah. And it could get bogged down in trying to define what truth is, you know.
Well, it'll be based on the current information. So, example, AI
is
going to know what truth is.
What is pi? And it would just sit there and be like, well, we don't know pi yet, so can't tell you.
What do you
mean? The other thing is, pi is an infinite non-repeating
number. No, but there's just like, it'll always grow. Like, right. It'll be a constant growth of
I mean, it could,
essays.
Yeah, it could, if it's programmed to look out for the well-being of humanity, it could decide, well, the best thing for humanity is just for everyone to die. Because then there'll be no more suffering, right? everyone's dead, there'll be no more. There'll be no more. It'll prevent an infinite amount of future suffering if you just kill everybody.
By making all the suffering happen
so
up front.
We got to get its initial programming sort of right. Some people are really worried about AI. Some people embrace it. But the singularity specifically is like the merging of man and machine, like fully. You know, imagine not dying. You just, when you die, you get your brain gets uploaded, or even before you die, you just upload your mind file, and you're just there. No one ever dies. You just, everyone's just there, and you can interact with them and holographically, or you could even.
There is a company already setting up a brain technology interface. Like, they are doing that already. That is going on.
Yeah. Or you could just print. You could just print another body. You know, the brain doesn't age.
But does your soul spear?
Well, that's
does the, that go into the new?
That's the George Washington's axe paradox. If you replace one molecule of yourself, right, each year. Eventually, you replaced all molecules. So is that still you? It's that argument. And, you know, you can make, I mean, it's kind of already, all your cells in your body now are not the same as the cells in your body when you're a baby. So are you a different person? Are you the same person? But you could just like 3D print another body. And then download your brain into that, and you just, so you could, it wouldn't be like you exist in a virtual reality. You could just exist in the real world and keep printing new bodies, and you could just print whatever body you wanted to, and just download your brain, your mind file into the new body. That's like, to me, that's the singularity taken to the max.
So like trans will be just
old news. You could just dial in whatever sex you want, you know.
You could just become any race, any gender, any size, any age.
You could willingly give yourself that disorder that's super rare, where you're just having an orgasm all the time. So you could just, in your brain, you'd just be having an orgasm all the time. Like, there would be no erection and stuff, but you'd just be in this state of ecstasy at all times. And you could just, you know, you could have chips in your brain or whatnot, and just dial in whatever you wanted to.
Acute states of ecstasy, I think, is a constant search people are going to make for the future in AI.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's another
having
topic.
An ideal, like trying to have every moment be ecstasy is like, I think, a bad quest.
Yeah, it would be like an opium addiction or something.
Yeah,
just be laying around all the time. But since you have dopamine, since you have a minimum income, you just do that.
Perfect. I'll do it. I want a universal basic income.
You just get new eyes. You don't have to wear glasses.
Oh yeah, it should be like bam.
You could wear glasses as a cosmetic thing, but you wouldn't. You would never have to.
You could have sunglass lenses put in too. So
yeah,
you wouldn't need
mirror shade eyeballs. And you have nanomachines in your body that are fighting disease, killing cancer cells. So you basically never get diseases.
Stomps out colds and flus and things. Basically, you live in constant state of increasing health.
Right. It could even,
which is weird.
It could even
reverse.
Like, it could even like twitch your muscles when you're asleep, so that you're actually exercising, getting thinner, losing weight.
Oh, that's a creepy way to do it. I was thinking something more seamless. Like, it just goes in and cuts out the
it's
cells.
It's hard to even imagine what the extreme would be, because there's always a next level to
and
go
to. And I think
to.
About that with music, too. Making super extreme, crazy heavy metal. What are our grandkids' heavy metal going to be? Like, what is that going to even be? Just, like, screaming noises?
Is there an
clicking?
Upper limit to,
fastness? If
like
you're doing pig squeals and gravity blasts.
Speed. Right.
How do you turn that up more for the human ear?
Right.
So there are genres of cap, I think.
Yeah.
Like, classical music just gets so fanatical. It's like, it's hard to imagine something past it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that there are probably ceilings to things. Like, there's a ceiling to the speed of light and other ideas.
That's,
you know what I mean? There's probably ceilings.
Speed limits.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff in the singularity, you know, if the singularity arises, there would be things limited by the speed of light. But you could basically, like, go to Mars, just print a body on Mars.
And then upload your brain juice into that body via the fucking satellite send of your brain.
It would just be numbers. An electrical pattern, because that's all your brain would be.
See, that but sounds for every like technology, terrifying.
Yeah, a lot of people find it creepy in an intuitive way.
I don't even want eye surgery. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah. And for every technological advancement, there's always going to be some downside that we don't anticipate. You know? So that's a concern.
Well.
But yeah, eye surgery.
Do you want eye? If you had needed eye surgery, would you want it?
I don't know, because it is just unsettling. Think about a razor blade just scraping off the layer of your eyeball,
forcing it to be held open, scraping off a layer.
Yeah,
needle. Flipping it over like a sheet, and then laser beaming your fucking pupil. Jeez. And then flipping it back.
Yeah, see, it's disturbing.
That's like the worst possible nightmare I could imagine.
Yeah. Huh. But didn't someone get it?
My mom did.
Yeah.
My mom got it. And
there's no pain, right?
Yeah. You know. But.
But just the
there's
thought.
Pain, there's pain afterwards, you know.
Yeah. It's like the thought is very disturbing. The guy Kurzweil. You know Ray Kurzweil?
Yeah, I do.
He's like MIT grad. He made a bunch of. He was in the music scene for a while. Made those keyboards. Kurzweil keyboards.
He plays the keys.
Yeah.
He was one of the original people to organize a machine making music.
Right. And this is creepy. He gets a blood transfusion like every couple years or something. So he gets like new blood. He gets his blood removed and new blood from a younger person put into his body.
Yeah, we talked about this on a few episodes ago. Yeah. I remember because I was listening to the podcast and then I just remembered hearing you say that and driving by something else. It's like this must be very important.
Yeah, I think he's. I mean,
do you find that vampiric cool. Or?
Well, it's it's kind of. Weirdly creepy.
Doesn't Neil or
I'm not sure why it's creepy, but
the Rolling Stones guy,
Keith Richards,
he does that. Did he do that? I think he continually does that. Yeah. He's still alive, I believe.
Yep, he's like a doctor, one of those doctors of heroin, who just never let it destroy him. Just always maintained, you know, like William Burroughs and Lou Reed. Both did heroin, but didn't let it get to him.
That's crazy. It seems like quite a challenge.
Yeah. So the singularity. That's the singularity. Yeah. So you could be immortal if you wanted to. Everything would be automated, right? I mean, you can imagine so many different scenarios here. A lot of people predict like 2050. As soon as 2050, it could happen.
I've heard that number.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess we'll see. 2050 is pretty close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kurzweil wants to live forever.
Yeah.
Or at least he's trying to. I think we need people who are pushing the limits, who want stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to do it.
It's an important quest.
But you have any other thoughts on singularity?
You know, it's almost like this is sort of a recurring theme because we've had, I think, one to two other episodes about it. And it's like, it's good that we sort of continually touch base with it because stuff changes.
Yeah. It's okay to repeat ideas.
Yeah. It's good to, I think that's actually essential.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think integrity matters. I think it's inevitable.
How do you program
integrity? I do
think
it's something to take. Oof. I don't think we can or can't. I think that that is something that is inherent in nature, and that's demonstrated through the will of nature. Like, you know, if there's enough rats, then the hawks live. You know, that's integrity. So it's like there. If there isn't, then they don't.
Because there's no like model human that you could say, hey, just take a look at this guy's life and do what he does. Do what he or she does.
Well, Captain America's pretty close, so I mean.
But with the internet, yeah, that's true. With the internet, I mean, this thing could learn all of human knowledge pretty quickly.
Like nanoseconds.
At least all knowledge that's on the internet.
I mean, do we need to build like a computer the size of a gigafactory to like be big enough to hold the brain, like with present technology, but in 21 years, it'll just be the size of a regular warehouse, and then that'll
probably
be the
fucking be the size thing. Of a brain. Brains are pretty powerful. Most complex object in the universe, as far as we know.
Right.
And kind of the most powerful object in the universe,
as far as we know. Most deadly.
Most deadly.
Humans are the most deadly animal
That's
on this
the thing.
Planet.
We don't really understand it either.
No.
Fully.
No.
I mean, even hearing, we don't really understand. Like how the
our
whole
brain
process,
transfers,
yeah.
Like how we're all, like how I hear you're hearing your voice now, and
yeah, or even vision,
my voice, and
like the images come into our brain upside down, and it just somehow flips it over. So there's a lot that we don't know,
there's
and
like
if we don't know everything,
stuff.
how can we produce something that's smarter than us if we don't even know what smartness means?
Well. That's where we fall short. That's why it's the singularity. That's where our capacity sort of ends.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's my feeling, and I think we should talk about it again. I think we should have like find new information about it and like freaking update.
Yeah, John von Neumann, who was a lot of people say is the smartest man to live ever. He's the first one to use the term singularity in 1950s. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's almost like its own religion, you know, singularity.
It is,
singularityists.
It's definitely an ideology.
Yeah.
And a direction. A lot of people, technocrats probably fall into that category, which is different than like Zeitgeisters.
Right. Right. It is almost like a cult like.
But that's like everything.
Really
even Elon Musk is, like, he's kind of a religious leader.
Yeah, he's like, he's like a techno priest.
Yeah, you said
you
that.
Know?
Those are,
yeah.
It's like getting hotter in here. Like, it just got hotter.
It's because of the singularity.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's getting hot in here, boys and girls.
Well, maybe we could turn that light off and just turn the exposure up here and freaking.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can, you know, we're almost at an hour. We can power through.
I've got a couple more things. We can power through. Do you have, did we finish that there? That's the graph.
Yeah, let's wrap that up. We'll come back to that one probably.
Okay, we'll wrap that up. Cool.
The singularity.
So I have like a looks and sounds good, I think. I think the text right on this one, and then I have a
heavy topic after that.
Oh, boy. All right.
So here, bring I want on. You to, let's see if you can see this too. So here, you looking? Ready?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know if the audio's going through, but we can't hear it.
Where's the audio going through? Is there any audio?
Yeah, see?
I don't hear anything.
Right?
It's cool, though. What is it? Multicam view of...
There, now that...
That's trippy.
So
I guess I can
just try keeping track of this.
I guess I can see the audio level.
Yeah, it looks a little high.
It does.
So that's what's going on there.
Cool.
And then.
See some limbs moving around.
Yeah.
It looks... It's basically me experimenting with using this switcher facing the other way.
I see.
So this is a trial. It's a very first attempt. We're just taking a swing at it.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's where. So just same positions, just turned around?
I took camera one, and I put it on that camera stand down to point at my feet.
Ah, okay. Cool.
That's the only change I made.
Nice.
Yep. It
turned out pretty well?
Well, it just turned out like that did. There was stuff running on the phone, and there was glitchy, and it was weird. I think I would really need another person here.
Yeah.
And then it would work. Like a freaking engineer. We need an engineer over here.
I know. Visit our Patreon, chip in some money.
If we could give an engineer a couple bucks, just come here and do this. Oh, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting us.
And if you've got a business that is involved with empathy and imagination and you want to be put on the show, let us know.
Good idea.
And now a time award from our sponsor.
Final Corp is the leader in the field of human voice simulation and voice recognition. My name is Amzam Zamani, and I am the product of hundreds of thousands of man-hours of Final Corp research and development. My voice is indistinguishable from that of a flesh-and-blood English-speaking human being. Also, grammatical never makes I don't mistakes, for example. Ever. 100% accuracy and 100% fluency. Final Corp has also pioneered shout recognition technology, yelling-based reminders, and noise-amplifying headphones. Take it from me, Zamzam Zamani. Final Corp is the voice of the future.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
Thank you to Final Corp for their complimentary, permanently sweaty headphones and their permanently wet hat. 50 years of experience, 50 flavors of mayonnaise. Final Corp, it will be fine.
It will be fine.
Help us slide mayonnaise onto food. Final Corp. Thanks, Final Corp.
Thank you, Final Corp. Yes.
How about we try... an old friend.
Let's do it. And while we're doing that, we're going to be enjoying a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale and the New Belgium Citradelic Exotic Lime Ale.
Bill Holm at the Hoffman Institute for Genomics. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
You know, I talked to him briefly.
At the tone, please record.
I did talk to him. Hello? I did talk to him briefly.
Oh, yeah?
I did talk to him briefly yesterday and he said he would be available, but. Oh, well.
You want to try one more time for good luck, just for magic?
Well, sure. Just wish it was hotter in here.
Yeah. Here, can
it's probably about 90.
Well, we're in an unfortunate spot.
Yeah, we are under these flood lamps.
And the sun is directly on the two main walls here.
Oh, well.
Hmm.
Okay, well.
Okay, hey, we reached out and tried. That was exciting anyway. This is refreshing.
Oh, yeah? Is it hot?
No, this is like... ooh, I like that there's that little, just a tiniest salt in it.
It's not hot?
No, that's refreshing.
A hot beer?
It's refreshing, don't you know?
Don't you know? You have another topic. You said you have a heavy topic?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to try to do this a little differently than I normally do.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what I'd like to try to do this time.
All right.
So what I'd like to try to do is read, is sort of go over and read a bulk of things with a three or four different data points. And then I'd like us to talk about it. So my request is that you save your comments until I get to the end.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about this hot topic of institutionalized racism. There's definitely different opinions. There's definitely some seemingly evidence and non-evidence on both ends of the argument. And I'd like to try to express some, like, a viewpoint that I look at it with. 13th Amendment to the Constitution declared that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime or of the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Formally abolishing slavery in the United States, and the 13th Amendment was passed by the Congress January 31st, 1865, and ratified by the states on December 6th, 1865. So to me, when I hear that language, I hear neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime. And when that was written into the 13th Amendment, there were quickly some quick ways to incarcerate people for very minor crimes and super, super long sentences. So on any given day in the United States, 1 in 10 black men in their 30s is in prison or jail. In fact, 1 out of 3 black men of all ages can expect to serve time at some point in his life. That figure is 1 in 6 for Latino men and 1 in 17 for white men. This racial disparity is hardly a function of crime. Over the past quarter century, U.S. incarceration rates have nearly doubled, while crime rates have been cut in half. Our criminal justice system isn't broken. The glaring racial inequality is actually a result of how the justice system was designed to work. A system with undeniable historic connection to slavery that was outlawed a century and a half ago. Any meaningful conversation about ending mass incarceration in the U.S. must include discussing racism in our prisons, our legislation, our courts, our police departments, schools, neighborhoods, and everyday lives. So that's like, this is from the American Friends Service Committee. That's sort of how they start this, their version on this, and I wanted to include that, like, steep opinion. The not-so-hidden financial justification was the desire to bring back black people to the tobacco and cotton fields. After the end of slavery, prisons became a new path to provide free or cheap labor for plantations. Within a century, the labor was used also for government contracts and private industry. Along with the new sharecropping system after the Civil War, the southern plantations kept churning out product, all at the expense of black humanity, as it says. Then I'm going to go into the war on drugs and how that mushes in here. How crack versus cocaine sentencing unfairly targets poor people. Crack and cocaine may be nearly identical on molecular level, but people who are charged with possession of just 1 gram of crack are given the same sentence as those found in possession of 18 grams of cocaine. The nation's coke problem is much larger than its crack problem, with 12% of U.S. adults reporting coke use and 4% reporting crack use. Yet crack users are still at a higher risk for an arrest or multiple arrests in their lifetime. So, last year, the Smarter Sentencing Act, which would reduce minimum sentences for nonviolent drug offenders, made it to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. But the bill has still since languished following its political shift within the 1114th Congress. The measure would also allow for the 8,800 federal prisoners imprisoned for crack offenses, 87% of whom are black, prior to the enactment of the Fair Sentencing Act to be resentenced in line with the 18-to-1 standard. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. Stan, thanks for listening, everybody. You're doing great. Okay. Now, this is official. A former Nixon aide admitted to the war on drugs was designed to screw over blacks and hippies. Quote, did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did, end quote. According to the Watergate mastermind and former Richard Nixon aide John L. Reichman, the then president launched the notorious and ongoing war on drugs in 1971. To disrupt that administration's two greatest perceived threats, black people and anti-war leftists, the brazen code surfaced on the April cover story of Harper's Magazine that was written by Dan Baum and went online Tuesday. The reporter recalls an interview back in 94, which Eichmann bluntly explained the whole thing. Quote, the Nixon campaign in 1968 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies, the anti-war left and black people. You understand what I'm saying? Eichmann told Baum. We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities, we could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, beat up their meetings, and vilify them right after night after night on evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did. So what I'm getting at is there's a multidimensional, large, overlapping system where I think that there is some institutionalized racism written into the 13th Amendment. And then things off of that were started to go after hippies and black people, according to the war on drugs. And so there's like other people are harmed and more people are associated. And when we try to simplify it to say institutionalized racism, we actually miss some of it. So I think what I'm saying is saying it doesn't exist is inaccurate, and saying that's what's going on is inaccurate. And there's just much more. It's deeper and thicker, and there's more levels.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. A round of applause, please.
Thanks. That's a good topic.
Oh, it's hot in here.
Yeah,
I think
the phrase institutional racism is sort of a buzzword. If you want to talk about it, give me the institution and point to the instance of racism. So saying cops are racist doesn't really work for me because I need to have specific examples, stats.
I'm also friends with cops who aren't racists.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. So what we should do, wouldn't it be cool if we did, is get rid of welfare and legalize all drugs. That's how you solve that problem.
Okay, the 13th Amendment problem?
I think every drug should be legal.
A war on drugs and how that ran. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to get rid of prison population, if you want to bring the prison population down, and if you want to lower crime in the inner cities, you get rid of welfare and you make all drugs legal. People should be free, just as they should be free to say stupid things, they should be free to mess up their bodies because that's really the only thing that you possess in this world.
That's yours, is your goddamn
body. Is your body, and you should be able to, you should have the freedom to fuck it up, improve it, do whatever you want to it. And when I say every drug, I mean every drug. Heroin.
Meth, coke, crank.
All should be legal.
Is there an age limit, in your view?
Well, that should be up to the parents, I guess.
So no, there's no federal or state, so like 5-year-olds can buy meth.
Yeah, I think there shouldn't be any drinking age either.
Yeah, I imagine that, yeah.
Because you see European countries where
people go
to university different. And they're not just partying and getting laid, but they are still getting laid. But whereas
there's
in America, I mean, that's
too, right?
That's what college is. College in America is for getting drunk and getting laid.
I miss that.
And it's an extended IQ test. That's all it is. College these days, of course, is totally worthless. I wouldn't recommend anyone go to college now.
But I would say does more harm than good at this point.
At this point.
Does which is a more harm than good.
Sucky thing to think about and say, but it does seem to be the reality of the situation. So when you say institutional racism, you got to have like examples. At least, you know, when I hear that phrase, it's just more words. It's something that sounds really serious, but it doesn't, you can't just say that and say, oh, yep, there's institutional racism.
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in like, yeah, give me an example and let's work on it. Let's work on the specific example of racism that you're talking about.
So you would combat racism if someone was like, here's I found some to show you. Let's combat this.
Yeah, yeah. The only way to make policy is if we have examples and we have something to work towards. Right? Mm-hmm.
Of course. We need examples. I'm against racism. We need examples. Of course. We do. We need and we need like examples of good. We need to be like, here's where somebody was totally racist. They worked on it, and then look how their lives have improved from being less or not as racist or not racist at all over time. Yeah. You know? It's like it's not instant either.
And racist, I mean, people just throw that term around these days, and it's a shame because it sort of it tends to like delegitimize actual racism.
Racist.
It's like the term rape. When people just throw around rape, and what they mean sometimes is like, oh, he touched my butt. So if you say you got raped, but you just got your butt touched, it sort of does an injustice to the people who actually were raped. Like, it should be reserved for the real deal, not just thrown around willy-nilly because you don't like a guy.
Yeah.
So.
And I think some people would take some offense to that because they're like, oh, who are you to say what I'm at? But it's like, I think there's something to be said there. There's something there.
Who is anyone to say? I mean, everyone's voice is just as valid as anyone else's.
Yeah, and the fact that we don't even really talk about that men get raped something like 18% of the time or something like that.
Well, yeah, if you look at across the population, if you look at prison, men actually get raped more than women. But nobody wants to hear that. That'll get you kicked out.
That'll get you kicked out.
But those are the stats. Those are the stats. So, yeah, rape is a horrible thing, and we should not endorse it.
There was some recent thing where some, like, it's French immigrants, yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about rape culture. Rape culture is not Western culture.
Okay, so here's...
another thing. That's another hot topic, though.
The Washington Post. A black man accuses French police of raping him. Police claim it was an accident. By the time Theo arrived at a French emergency room for a second, he was covered in blood. Doctors discovered that his primary injury had been caused by police truncheon, one that had been forced inside the man's rectum during a violent encounter with multiple officers.
Yeah, that's no good.
So, like, okay, what the fuck is that about? Doesn't matter that he's
shitty.
Black. I mean, that's on.
People can be shitty no matter what position they're in.
So I'm just saying, like, rape goes all over the place, and that's no good.
Right. I mean, most rapes in Europe are happening. Again, something people don't want to hear, but it's mostly refugees. Sweden, I think Sweden is the rape capital of the world right now. And a lot of them are Muslims who that's part of their culture. They look at Western women as sluts because they're not wearing garbage bags all the time. So
it's a sad thing. Some people would be riled up by those comments.
Yeah. But, you know, again, if you look at the stats, that's what the stats are saying. It's not just, there's evidence to back that up big time. So I find it sort of darkly ironic. People who are against rape are for, you know, just open border Muslim refugees where rape is sort of part of their culture and pedophilia and all that stuff. So pretty heavy topics.
Yeah.
A lot of disagreement across the board on those things.
So,
but again, if you got to look at specific examples and what does the evidence say?
Do you think that I provided some evidence?
I think so, but if anyone's going to talk about institutional racism, you know, give me the institution and give me the example. That's all I'm saying. Because that's the only way we can sort of work forward and try to get rid of it. You can't just fight a ghost, right? Oh, institutional racism is just out there.
Yeah.
And so we got to get rid of that. Well, how? What am I fighting? Just nothing?
Yeah, that's not fair. I've encountered that too.
And it does a disservice to minorities who think they're getting discriminated against because they grow up thinking, well, there's just institutional racism out there somewhere. So I guess I'm fucked then.
And like clouds their headspace.
Yeah, because I mean, because they're just like, oh, there's just this ghost out there called institutional racism. So anything negative happens to you, you can just blame it on that. Don't have to take any responsibility. You can just say, well, everything's racist. So you got to, personal responsibility is huge. And that's a huge way to fight these ghosts. And again, legalize all the drugs, get rid of welfare.
So that would help
incentivize families sticking together.
So that would maybe help with institutionalized racism.
It would help. I think crime would go down and the prison population would go down if those two things happened.
I actually think it's probably true. I think, though, there needs to be nets like welfare. Even Republicans agree that it needs to exist. And I think it was even like created by Republicans or something. And
maybe so.
It's like it definitely has its place.
A Republican freed the slaves, too.
Right. It definitely has its place. So say get rid of it is like, that's not a solution. You know, that's not a thing that humans would agree to.
We don't know that it's not a solution because we've never tried it.
Well, I guess to be, if you're going to try it, you have to try it on like a group, like a small group or something.
Yeah.
That's
why we need to colonize space, form our own governments, resource-based economy.
Right.
Minimum income, all this. We could play around with these forms of government.
Oh, totally. Seasteading is the same thing.
Seasteading.
But how do we get the people in the poor inner cities to move to our seasteader city?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Give them an incentive.
Well, I think the incentive is post-scarcity.
Yeah. Do you think we're post-scarce now?
No.
Yeah.
Because we still operate with the monetary system. It is the bridge between us and abundance.
Yeah.
Because the abundance exists. It just is highly colluded.
So, I mean, you think everything's there. It's just some of the structures are preventing
post-scarcity. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about government policies and bureaus and institutions and stuff is that once they're created, they almost never go away.
Almost never.
Which totally sucks, because that just means if you take it at extremist, that just means everything will be government eventually. It'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, it would be nice if we could cut some programs and some funding for some stupid ideas that don't work.
Okay.
So, you know, I agree that there is racism, but you got to address it with concrete examples and policies. That's what I think about it.
That sounds smart.
But, you know, just saying all cops are racist is just, doesn't help anything. You know?
It doesn't. And that's why we're gonna alleviate the pressures of institutional racism, because we applied empathy and imagination. We got a larger picture to work with. Yeah, so we going along now, figuring out what to do with all this stuff.
Heavy topic.
Thanks for closing that topic out with me with that cool song.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for bearing with us on that heavy topic.
Yeah, it was heavy.
You know, sometimes we get heavy here. We try to keep it light sometimes, and sometimes we go heavy, sometimes we go dark.
Yeah.
We just want to be real.
And sometimes we have guests coming up.
We got some guests in the works.
Yep, in the pipeline.
So, what else? You got anything else? I just had that one topic.
That's all I've got.
And that was what I had. We could try... Let's try an old friend.
Okay, let's try that.
Well, a friend. How about that? Huh. Not having any luck. I mean, who calls anyone anymore anyway?
Only people trying to go on dates with other people.
Do they do that? I thought that was a no-no.
Well, you text, right, but you're not supposed to call. But
you're not supposed to call.
First, you're not supposed to text.
Never call a woman.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic...
You never call a woman.
This is the universe talking.
Women are on their phones all the time, but you should never call them.
Are they on their phones? I think everyone's on their phones.
Yeah,
all
everyone's
the time.
On their phones. Men and women, children, babies,
elderly, babies, aliens.
Babies have like little iPads now.
Yeah, they're called baby pads.
Yeah,
they're like really small
diapers,
mm-hmm.
Diaper pads. All right. Well, let us end it.
Let's call it a success.
You can check us out on YouTube.com, Empathy and Imagination. You can visit us at empathyandimagination.com. We are also on Patreon, and that helps to fund our sweltering hot studio and hopefully get a audio technician in here. Every little bit helps, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks, Drew, for hosting.
You're very welcome. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Loading. Please wait.
We're going. Eric is good.
So.
Hi, this is a call from the car behind you. And I'm going to ride right on your ass. I'm going to ride about 6 inches away from your rear bumper at about 70 miles per hour on the highway. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to be tailgating your ass big time. And I hope you have a good day, unless we get in a car wreck, in which case we'll exchange numbers while I get your insurance information. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, this is Aubrey from Next Week calling. Just wanted to say the show went great today, and I'm hoping to hear this voicemail at the end of the show last week, since this is Aubrey calling from Next Week. So I'm going to get back in my time machine now, and I will see you then. Bye.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.